right now, third hour is open. When I say open, I mean it's you. Go ahead and give me a call, 1-800-636-8686. The Jungle is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Dear Jim, wonderful interview. I love The Beautiful Game. Reminds me of my movie, A Beautiful Mind, and the upcoming direct-to-video sequel, A Beautiful Mint. Signed, Russet Potato. Brett from Bugahaw. Unwore John in New York's Periscope feed of Rome's Hall of Fame speech, cutting out at the part where Rome thanked me. Well, I thanked a lot of people, Brett. A lot of people. The entire XR4TI, the brass at Intercom, the brass at Westwood One. Pretty much everybody except you, Brett. It didn't cut out. You weren't part of it. This email says, Jimmy, mate, if Coach Cal still has any of that poop-flavored ice cream, I'll take a few scoops. Signed, Truffles Dough. Coach Cal long ago shared the analogy of ice cream is great, but all it takes is a single pinch of poop to ruin a great bowl of ice cream.
There's a bucket of poop and there's a bucket of ice cream. You can put all the ice cream in that poop that you want. It doesn't change it. But one little pinch of that poop in that ice cream ruins that ice cream. And I'll tell a guy, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream.
It's so good. Cal, I think that's great. Cal told me that on this show in 2007, and still one of my favorite analogies. And it makes me laugh every time when he says, you, my man, are the poop in our ice cream. Evansville was the poop in the ice cream last night. They earned it. They deserved it. There was nothing fluky about that. Dear Romy, I already picked Evansville to knock off a 5 seed. Did you know a 12 always beats a 5? Signed, Bracket Guy. Casey, New Hampshire, it is way too early for Bracket Guy. And Alvy's Bracket Alerts. Bracket Alert. Bracket Alert. So I was talking about how rangy I am. Boxing, soccer, tennis. Back to back to back. Not obscure, rangy. Who else can do that? So let me start hour number 3, believe it or not, by talking tennis. Rafa Nadal is one of the greatest tennis players in history. Nobody debates that. 19 Grand Slams, the career slam, still world number one. His run at the French Open with 12 titles is so dominant, it's a joke. I mean, it's cartoonish. For a guy who has assembled one of the all-time immortal careers in any sport, not just his own, it doesn't seem like he gets the most respect at press conferences for media members. For example, there was that one legendary moment a few years back where a reporter congratulated him for winning his match, which is cool, except he lost the match.
Hi, Nadal, congratulations on your win, and I would like to know how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try.
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
Find me a better 20 seconds in the history of press conferences than that. I mean, that is so incredible. Hi.
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 Let me congratulate you on winning your game. All right, not a match, but a game. Let me congratulate you on winning your game.
Hi.
And this guy is so classy that he says, by the way, I lost. And she quickly jumps in and says, oh, I know. I know, but it's a win anyway.
Hi. Nadal, congratulations on your win. And I would like to know how do you feel after the game and if you're ready to give it another try.
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
Oh man, that is so incredible. And I don't even understand the question. Congratulations on the win. Are you ready to give it another try? Hey, look, I want to be sympathetic here. Covering a tennis tournament can be tricky. Like, sometimes you're not actually at the court where the match is being played, and the players are just brought into the room. And because one of those players is one of the greatest to ever play, I guess you just assume he won. I mean, I can see where that might happen, I guess. Except it normally does not happen when that's the only match being played. That was not an early round match. But whatever. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm going to start conducting my interviews and beginning with hi.
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 Anyway, that was nothing compared to what happened this week when Nadal lost to Alexander Zverev, 2-4 at the ATP World Tour Finals. After losing, he went to the media room for his presser. Check this out.
Tonight you were playing very short many times. I don't know why, because you're not used to that. But I'd like to know, for many people to get married is a very important and distracted thing. Mm. Before the marriage, during the marriage, after the marriage. Your concentration on tennis life has been a bit different, even if you were going out with the
state. Honestly, are you asking me this? Yeah. Is it a serious question or is it a joke? Is it serious? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised. It's a big surprise for me you ask me this after being with the same girl for 15 years and having a very stable and normal life. Doesn't matter if you put a ring on your finger or not. In my personal way, I am a very normal guy. Maybe for you was it the complete? How many years you have been with your
wife? 30 years this year, but when
and before the years, after maybe you were not sure. That's why. Okay. We move to Spanish because that's bullshit. Thank you very much.
I mean, this is so good. Not as good as the other, but still really good. Listen to the start of that. This guy says, quote, tonight you were playing very short many times. I don't know why, end quote. Like that reporter is pissed at how Nadal played. And then he goes in on Nadal's concentration on tennis and his focus since getting married. I have not seen somebody go that hard in a presser since Bobby Ramos went bottom line on LeBron and D-Wade.
Bobby on the left side.
Bobby
standing.
Ramos bottom line. This is for both of you. You have a great defense. They're averaging 104 points a game. You have a lot of offense. You haven't broke 100 yet. Is the problem your lackluster defense, or is it the problems you're having offensively? Lackluster offense.
The problem is we're down 2-1. That's the problem. We got to figure out how to tie it up.
Answer the question, Flash. Bobby Ramos is like, why y'all suck? So Nadal thought about as much of that question as Spo thought of Bobby Ramos. Just run this Nadal exchange back one more time.
Tonight you were playing very short many times. I don't know why, because you're not used to that. But I'd like to know, for many people to get married is a very important and distracted thing. Mm. Before the marriage, during the marriage, after the marriage. Your concentration on tennis life has been a bit different, even if you were going out with the state.
Honestly, are you asking me this? Yeah. Is it a serious question or is it a joke? Is it serious? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised. It's a big surprise for me. You ask me this after being with the same girl for 15 years and having a very stable and normal life. Doesn't matter if you put a ring on your finger or not. In my personal way, I am a very normal guy. Maybe for you was it completely. How many years you have been with your?
30 years this year, but
when and before the years, after maybe you were not sure, that's why. Okay, we move to Spanish because that's bullshit. Thank you very much.
I like the way this guy tried to jump back into the fight. Wait, what did you say to me? Anyway, it's bull bleep. Thank you very much. I love the way he started off too. That was such a great thing that Nadal said. Are you messing with me? I mean, is this a joke? Are you serious? Because if you're messing with me, I'll laugh along with you. But if you're being serious, in other words, to quote the great CJ Nikowski, take a seat, meat. I'm not sure what I like better. Nadal's extremely calm, expressionless face while listening to that dopey rant from that reporter lecturing him on his focus, or the actual response, because they're both awesome. And then when Nadal does respond, he crushes it. For a guy known as a legend who just kind of sits behind the baseline and just whacks both groundies, this guy was coming to the net. He was coming forward. He was cutting down the angle. He was attacking. Little angle volleys. Honestly, are you asking me this? Is this a serious question? Is it a joke? Is it serious? Yeah? Yeah? Like I said, that's a perfect response. He didn't snap. He didn't F-bomb him. He didn't fly into a rage. He calmly determined if this clown was serious or not, or messing with him. And then he responded seriously in a very calm manner. And then he laid out the fact. Yes, I got married. Yes, I got married to a woman who had already been with for a decade and a half. That's bull bleep. That's an asinine question. Sit the hell down. And one more thing. Nadal was playing his first match since an abdominal tear. Serious injury. Forced him to withdraw from an event in Paris. And he just lost to a guy who won the ATP World Tour Finals last year. Not some hack. He lost to one of the best players in the world. And a guy who at 22 has the look of a future world number one. If the legends ever retire. Nadal has had a legendary career on the court and in the media room. And as much as I liked him before and respected him before, I like and respect him a hell of a lot more right now. All hail Rafa. Honestly, the only problem is, if you're going to compare that to the GOAT, it's never going to measure up. The exchange he had with that one woman will never, ever be topped. That's the best thing ever.
Nadal, congratulations on your win, and I would like to know, how do you feel after the game, and if you're ready to give it another try?
I lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but it's a win anyway.
You got to give her credit. That was an absolutely incredible recovery. So quick, too. I lost. Oh, I know. But it's a win anyway. Like, who was she covering that event for? What was her story?
Honestly, are you asking me this?
I mean, you're messing with me, right? It's a joke, right?
Is it serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Love this guy. Love him. All right, so like I said, sometimes I want to flex a little bit. Boxing, soccer, tennis. Where am I going to go next? You never know. Maybe a little pop culture for you. Maybe a shout out to the boomers. Boy, Hawk, you popped out of your seat fast. What you got there, man? I know what you don't have. A mustache. What the hell happened to that porn stash? Hawk told this unbelievable tale about coming to New York City for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, going out, having a few cocktails, then having a few more cocktails, and then stumbling back to his hotel room only to wake up without his porn stash, and he has no idea what happened to it. Hey, Rome. Loved that interviewer's approach. Regards, hey, Julio.
Hey, Julio.
All right. Name this voice.
Hey, Julio.
Do you recognize this voice?
Hey, Julio.
Do you know who Julio is?
Hey, Julio.
Julio Jones.
Hey, Julio.
Future Hall of Famer. Do you know who the guy saying, hey, Julio is?
Hey, Julio.
If it sounds like Hawk, it is because it is Hawk.
Hey, Julio.
You're probably curious what Hawk had to say to Julio, right?
Hey, Julio. Do you think Tom Brady's recovery sleepwear actually works?
I don't know anything about sleepwear or what Tom Brady's doing when he sleeps.
Julio handled that as well as Nadal handled that question.
Hi,
Adam. I don't know anything about sleepwear or what Tom Brady is doing in his sleep.
Hi.
How are you still employed in this industry after a question like that to a guy like that? You know, there was that one idiot in for like media day at Super Bowl who's got nothing to do with anything. Hawk. Hey, Julio.
Hey, Julio.
Warren Nadal sounding like a sarcastic Stewie Griffin to that reporter.
Is it a serious question or is it a joke?
Julio should have said, is that a serious question or a joke?
Hey, Julio.
Hey, you, that guy with that porn stash, is that a serious question or a joke? Who do you represent? Jim Rome, sir. Great. Way to proxy the program. Way to rep the program. Way to rep the brand. Hey, Julio. When we come back, let's go pop culture. Let's do something different. And a good telephone call gets on the air. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. You can as well. This month is Visibility Month. Be sure to improve your visibility while driving and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Treco Titan wiper blades. The O'Reilly Pros. We even install your wiper blades for free while you wait. Do not risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find exactly what you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Come see for yourself or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Got plans this weekend, so be prepared with windshield wipers. They can handle anything at all. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real world proven for extreme weather performance. They last two times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades only available at Walmart. Romo, Bill Romanowski, is going to be my guest on the Jim Rome podcast, which will drop later today. If you are subscribed, it will find you. If not, make sure you find it and then subscribe, and then you will never have to look for it ever again. We got a rematch here. Not just the U.S. soccer team in Canada, which is a really important match. Another important rematch. So when you think about some of the amazing rivalries in all sports, what comes to mind? Duke, North Carolina, Arnie, Jack, Yankees, Red Sox, Ali Frazier, Lakers, Celtics, McEnroe Borg, Dion Waiters, THC Gummies. Just some of the best and well-known rivalries in all of sport, all time. As of today, you can officially add one more to the list, and it belongs on that short list. Jeopardy James and Emma the Librarian. Never mind the popcorn. Get your damn Polydent ready, because it's about to pop off like a set of fake teeth up in here. If you've somehow been able to avoid every news outlet in the entire world, then you probably do not know that the greatest rematch in the 55-year history of Jeopardy is about to go down across rabbit ear television nationwide starting tomorrow night. And the rematch calls for the remix.
Oh no, talking about hockey, not the NBA.
No, what is Auburn? You're obviously not a big football fan.
NBA Finals MVP, Leah.
Who is Parker?
No, Hans.
Carmelo Anthony?
No, come on.
Goodrin.
Who is Pete Rose?
No, Stacy.
Who is Kurt Schilling?
No, Terry's going to hear from University of Alabama people.
Who is Parker? No. Who is Parker is the best. Jeopardy James Holzhauer. What household legend earlier this year when he did the impossible and he turned a pre-taped trivia game show for senior citizens into appointment television for all of America. Dude ripped 32 straight wins. He left the set with 2.4 mil in his back pocket. And he did it by literally flipping the game upside down, working from the bottom of the board, and shoving his stack all in when he'd mine for daily doubles. It was a combination of pure genius and pure recklessness. I remember watching that show back in the day where if you saw somebody do that, it was because they were running out of time, taking the big swing, trying to get there at the last second. Not homeboy. I mean, he ran the whole table like that. Remind me of way back in the day when I was a kid and I'd watch Name That Tune. And the host of the show, whoever it was, Jim Lang or whoever it was, would give you the cue or the clue to the song. And some badass would be like, I can name that tune in one note. And the whole crowd would be like, whoa, one note. It's like the easiest thing ever. You know, like this song written and composed by Elton John was named Rocket Man. I can name that in one note. Rocket Man. Oh! It's like Jeopardy James, man, when he started picking from the bottom. Then he kept running it backwards. So today he owns every single top 10 score in show history. But on June 3rd, a bookworm from Chicago named Emma Betcher slayed the dragon, stoned Goliath, an absolutely shocking upset that nobody saw coming. But then that was that. No revenge game, no running it back, no rematch, or so we thought. But then Jeopardy announced the 15-person field for their annual Tournament of Champions. Everybody knew Jeopardy James would headline that two-week event. No one expected Emma to get an at-large berth because her winning streak ended after only two games, after she shocked the world. But TV producers know better. They all went to school and majored in creating drama. So they put her in the tournament despite the controversy because they could. And then they set it all up. The only way the gambler and the librarian would collide head-to-head is if they both won their first two games to get into the final. Emma smashed the doubters like her viewers smash a life alert button after a fall.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
We're sending help immediately, Mrs. Fletcher.
Then on Monday, she punched her ticket to the final. Hey, haters, how's that grab you? On the other side of the bracket, Jeopardy James rolled into round one, earned his spot into the semis last night, and all he had to do was beat up on two tomato cans, which is what he did to get that revenge shot at Emma. And is typically the case, JJ had the game mathematically over before Final Jeopardy.
So let's go to James. He couldn't be caught, but you're going to come back on Thursday to play for $250,000.
So, ladies and gentlemen, but mainly Eleanor, Betty, Gladys, Agnes, Earl, Ernest, Oswald, Herman, Sylvia, Doris, Cecil, Garrett Ritt, and everybody else at the old folks' home. Crank up your hearing aids because we have got a rematch.
Talking about hockey, not the NBA.
No, what is Auburn? You're obviously
turn
not
that
a big football fan.
Thingamajigger in your ear up, Ritt. This is for all the butterscotch and prune juice in the world. The Vegas Gambler v. the Windy City Librarian. Who is Parker? A two-night epic rematch.
Who is Parker?
Going down Thursday and Friday. Winner gets 250 gur. The money's an afterthought, right? This is about settling the score. This time, it's personal. Was the librarian's shocking victory over Jimmy, a one-off? Or is she truly his bad hip? Achilles heel. If you're under the age of Rit, if you're under the age of 80, and you're watching tomorrow and Friday night, I highly recommend staying off the Twitter, you young hooligans. Because this show airs in certain markets, like Houston, as early as 11:30 in the morning. Or as most Jeopardy viewers call it, dinner time. Here we go. It's on. The Bookie Smasher versus the Book Return Collector. Let's do this damn thing.
Who is Parker?
No.
Who is Parker?
Is Carmelo Anthony?
Oh, no.
1-800-636-8686. Who you
what
got?
Is X?
No.
Who you got? Who you old-timers got? The gambler or the librarian? All right, we'll come back. I've got one last segment. Just kind of all over the map today, right? But in a really good way. Team USA, Canada, Friday night. Americans have to have that one. Talking soccer now. And they will. And they will. They've got their karma. Greg Berhalter came in. Still ahead. A good telephone call gets on the air. Tomorrow night, Browns, Steelers in C-Town. Do you think the Browns can handle that defensive front for the Steelers? Have the Browns found a new so-called identity? Kareem Hunt is in. Are they going to pound the football? Another must-win game for America's team. Will they get it done? Some great matchups this weekend, too. Evansville over Kentucky last night. We had Walter McCarty on. Bill Romo on the Jim Rome podcast. A lot going on. Stay tuned. The only real difference is in the people. Let's do this ATP. Time to ask the pros. You clones submit your question, and I answer it. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed. Low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dear Jim, how did this show get the name The Jungle? And how did the listeners become known as The Clones? Bill in Ontario. First of all, Bill, which Ontario? Is it Ontario, California, or the other Ontario? All right, so really quickly, The Jungle, when I first got on the air at night in San Diego, it was a really aggressive show, really belligerent show. Everybody was coming for everybody. And then I just kind of said, man, it's a jungle. It's a jungle out there, but kind of an urban jungle, not a tropical jungle, an urban jungle. It's a jungle. And then I had an engineer at the time who pulled Welcome to the Jungle, and we had our opening theme song, and that kind of took. Clones was a derisive term back in the day because it referred to the listeners who would call and just kind of mimic me, because what I was doing was different. For better or for worse, it was distinctive and it was different, and people started to just kind of mimic it and emulate it. Other show hosts, the callers for sure. So that's how they became clones. Like, God, they're all a clone of him. They all sound like him. They all say the same things he's saying, and they say it like him. They're clones. So that's how it became The Jungle, and you became the clones. This says, who am I writing to? Whoever wins the Jeopardy tournament deserves to win. And that's all I wanted to say. Sincerely, Marie.
Who am I speaking to?
Jim Rome, Esquire.
Jim, I just wanted to call and tell you that I love your show. And I think that the winners of the Super Bowl really deserve to win. And that's what I wanted to tell you.
Rack her! Marie, if you're still with us, you can be in the smack-off. I like, who am I? She was so sweet and kind. Who am I speaking to? Jim Rome. Oh, I love your show. Really, Marie, you don't even know who you're talking to. But you love my show. That'd be like me saying, anyway, I'm going to quit while I'm behind. Hey, Rome. Thank you for making me spit Dr. Pepper all over my iPad. The Rit jokes during the Jeopardy rant were amazing. You're on top of the game as usual. Rit didn't seem to think so. Rit, man, don't sweat that stuff. You're going to be dead soon anyway. Aaron in Iowa, don't let Rit know that you spit any Dr. Pepper out, man. That's like his water. He'll be so pissed that you wasted any of that pepper. Rome, this world needs more Jim Rome Jeopardy tournament breakdowns. Amazing. Shane in SLO. Let's go back to Twitter quickly. At the Real Left Hook. Jeopardy James is going to tear Emma up like a rabid dog. Why isn't there a press conference? I don't know, bro, because they taped it like 3 months ago or 3 years ago or something. Chris in St. Pete. Jeopardy James is playing for all the marble cake when he faces that other nerd. Signed, Raspberry Crepe. Hey, Jim. Did you say name that tune? I know that game. Regards, Indie Bag at Unplugged Show, clapping and whistling at the first note of a song to show how big of a fan they are. Hey, Bag, that song could have been When the Saints Come Marching In, or She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain for All You Knew. Sit your ass down. That's good. I like that. Hey, Jim, Rafa Nadal could have handled that question at the presser much better than that. Regards, Brett Myers.
Was it the right pitch?
Yeah, it's a good fastball down and away. And then Sledge, I looked at it on tape, looked like he didn't even see where it went.
You thought they were both were pop-ups?
Yeah, didn't you? Do you think they crushed them?
First one I thought was down, second one.
Yeah, because you're a re. You don't know about baseball. You're filling in for somebody.
How do you spell?
You know how to spell it. It's in your vocabulary. I'm sure you know.
Hey, you are a clay.
Not you, motherfucking out. Come on, you. You're tough when people stand in front of you, aren't you? You piece of. Come on, you. Out here, you fucking idiot. Yeah, you're tough when fucking people are standing in front of you, stupid ass. Yeah, that's right, you are. You're a fucking idiot. You stupid ass fucking question.
Man, to say that that escalated quickly. Have you ever heard an exchange like that? That was back in 07. Understand that, like, every day for the next 5 years, that got played on this show. And then once in a while, somebody like Lee Harfield will bring it up. Boom, out of here. That's where that drop came from. Boom, out of here. The drops that were not turned into drops are all the F-bombs. Man, that thing escalated quickly. I'm not even sure Romo ever got that mad. Bill Romanowski is going... Guess what? Romo makes the pod. Bill Romanowski was a part of some of the most legendary slash controversial moments in league history. He's got a fistful of Super Bowl rings, played the game at a high level for a long time. Nobody approached it like Romo. Man, to say that Romo ran hot. But then Romo in retirement, we struck up a friendship. And Romo has long been coming on the show, this show, my TV shows, and he has said some legendary things. Back in 2010, remember, Romo, ended the career of a teammate, Marcus Williams. They got into a fight. Romo punched him, broke his eye socket, concussed him, and we talked about it on this show in 2010.
It took me back to my rookie year. We're playing the Raiders in the Coliseum. I get pushed in the back in the second half of that game. I'm trying to make this team. Well, you could see it on film. Ronnie Lott gets up in front of the team, flips on the lights, tells George Seifert, our defensive coordinator, turn off the projector. He said, Romo, if I ever see someone push you in the back again and you don't do something about it, I will personally kick your ass. This is a game of respect. You know, if you're going to let somebody punk you like that, they will punk you right out of this league. That was my first experience to NFL football. Ronnie Lott teaching me, you know, what the game was about. Respect. Did I take it too far at times? Yes, I did, Jim. But guess what? Marcus Williams pushed me in the back, and he tried to punk me in my 16th year. And guess what? I grabbed him by the face mask, and I said, don't you ever do that again, because I will kill you.
The thing is, he almost did. Romo. So Romo will be on the podcast, and I'm sure that I could probably get Romo to share a few anecdotes from his career. Boston College, Niners, Raiders, Broncos. He played for Philadelphia. Do you remember that? Romo will have takes on the Raiders, the Niners. Let's not forget, Romo knows what it's like to win a Super Bowl, and Romo knows what it's like to lose a Super Bowl, and he knows why teams lose Super Bowls.
We had a group of guys that thought the Super Bowl was about a party. Guess what? That was bad karma. I'm ready to knock somebody's head off the week before because they're messing around. They're messing with my ring. Okay, that's what my teammates were doing in Oakland. They were messing with number five. I didn't get number five. Tampa got their number one. And it was because of that. I wish I would have gone in the room, kicked out the whores, got rid of all the everything that was going on with certain guys. And, you know, but I didn't do that.
Bill Romanowski. Romo. They took that ring off my finger. Number five. Romo still wants it badly. He's still grinding. He still looks like $1 million. Still doing his thing. And he will be on our podcast, Ep 104. That will drop later today. Be sure you look for that. Huge Call today is brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday sneak peek. These deals fit your busy work schedule, and you can save right now on computers with Intel Core processors, plus free shipping. All you have to do is call 877-BUY-DELL. Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL, or visit Dell.com/business deals. Out of time. It's a good day, though. I want to thank Walter McCarty. He came on right after that immense upset. Evansville over Kentucky in the Wildcat House. Walter McCarty. We had Terrence Crawford, WBO welterweight champion. Greg Berhalter is the U.S. men's national team head coach. He was in. I'm going to psych up. I'm going to have a conversation with Romo. We will push that out in the next couple hours. Thanks to the XR4TI. If I didn't get your phone call in, we'll run it back tomorrow. I'll be right here, same time, same place. See you then. Thanks for listening. Have an incredible day.